Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Final hour on this Wednesday. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis from News 2. Parker Kelly broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We start this hour by going to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt football, is joining us for his weekly visit to the program. Andrew, thanks for taking some time.
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Doing great. Before we start talking about, you know, all of the big topics around Vanderbilt, we had a caller, Kenny the Mailman, who called in, and he was enamored with your call at the end of the game of the only colors left in this stadium are black, gold, and aluminum. So he wanted us to let you know how great of a call that was and thinks it should be on a T-shirt.
Then you and I both know exactly where the royalties need to go for that one, don't we?
Yes, we do. Andrew, last night, obviously, a disappointing result with the college football playoff rankings. Vanderbilt stays at number 14. Is it difficult, as someone who's a part of the program and, of course, rooting for this team, to kind of deal with the emotions of the disappointment of likely not getting into the playoffs, but also the appreciation for all of the success that this program has had throughout this season?
Okay, so first off, I should have said thank you to Kenny. It was a borrowed phrase from a friend of ours, but I do appreciate the sentiment. It is a wonderful line. Okay, so the emotional state of someone associated with the program. I'm going to speak for myself exclusively.
Yep.
And nobody else. I think one of the things, and I had conversations with Norm and with some of our crew that I felt coming off of the Kentucky game, coming into the Tennessee game, is I didn't want to do with Tennessee what I felt like I did too much of with Kentucky, which was make everything all about the college football playoff. Because at the end of the day, whether Vanderbilt gets in or does not get in, and I certainly understand where the rankings sit currently, it is disrespectful to the work of the coaches and the players.
Yep.
That made this transformative season possible. And one of the things that coming out of all of this, and this is not a white flag, like you play to win a national championship, as Clark says, winning is the mission. But one of the frustrating elements of all of the narrative in college football these days is from day one in August, the only thing we talk about is the playoffs. It's it. And 12 teams are going to make it. A bunch of teams aren't. So you sit there and you go, all of a sudden, an 8-4 season is bad because we've been conditioned to only care about the playoffs. So anyway, all of that is to say, is there clear frustration with how this has played out? Obviously, I'm a human being. I work with these guys. I want them to reap the rewards of their success, for sure. But as I breathe and I take a breath and step back, I want to make sure that I don't disrespect how joyful this season has been. And how wonderful the work has been of Diego and Clark and Tim Beck and Steve Gregory and all of these players. They deserve, whether it's through the playoffs or not, to be celebrated for a transformative year.
And there's a chance that Diego Pavia could be celebrated in New York coming up in just about a week and a half as the Heisman Trophy winner. This weekend's game in Knoxville has clearly vaulted him up in the odds, the rankings for the Heisman Trophy. What would your case be for Diego Pavia to take home the Heisman Trophy in New York and become Vanderbilt's first Heisman winner ever?
For me, it's that he checks every single box, right? So I think a lot of times the Heisman becomes about the best player on the best team or the statistics or the narrative or the moment or the plays. Like, people sort of aim their target in different spots as to why you could choose an individual player for that award. I think if you aim, at any target, Diego is going to come out on top. Statistically, I mean, there's a million statistics you could point to, whether it's total yards and touchdowns and body of work or that absolutely ridiculous statistic that Cole Kublik had, that Diego is the first player in SEC history to have four straight 400-yard performances. That's bonkers with all of the players that have played in this league. The statistics, Diego's got them. If it's a transformative player, clearly, Diego is transformative and means more to Vanderbilt than anybody, with all due respect to Mendoza, who's duplicating what's O'Rourke kind of did a season ago for Indiana, or what Sayan is duplicating for a treasure trove of other Ohio State quarterbacks. Diego means more to Vanderbilt. And then on top of that, how many times have we seen Diego just do absurd things? Like Norm's favorite line on our broadcast is that how do you defend a player that doesn't know what he's going to do on any given moment? He has checked every box of silly statistics, silly importance, and silly highlights. He clearly is, to me, above everybody else. And those are good players, but he's above everybody else in terms of hitting all of these marks.
Andrew, a couple of points that I want to make and get your take on is, number one, when you look at the other two and you look at him, he is unquestionably the best player on his team. You can't say that for Julian Sand at Ohio State. The other thing that I don't think people take into account enough is this, and I want your take on that. He has to be defended every play. Not every quarterback has to be defended every play. Run or pass, he has to be defended every play. And I don't think that's appreciated enough.
And when you don't, Corey, he undresses you. go talk to, I think it was the LSU game. It was LSU or Auburn. I can't quite remember. Like one of those defenses, by the way, both of them are national championship caliber, even if the programs themselves had difficult seasons. Those defenses are absurd. Someone played man-to-man defense, which I can't quite remember what it was. They didn't have a spy on Diego, and he addressed him for a 25-yard touchdown run into the south end zone corner against one of those teams. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. And the other part that I would tack on, again, is like, you can talk about Vanderbilt's schedule and the way that it's perceived at the end of the season. Even at the end of the season, you still have to acknowledge the gauntlet defensively that Diego went through, that Sayan didn't, and Mendoza didn't go through. Auburn is a great defense. We hung 45, okay? LSU is a really good defense. We hung more points on LSU than Ole Miss did. And all we hear about is Ole Miss's offense and Lane Kiffin and so on and so forth. Missouri is a tremendous defense. They gave us problems. But when Diego had to come through, he had the touchdown run.
Well, and look at just the last game. They beat Tennessee. Who else beat Tennessee? Alabama, Georgia, and Oklahoma. How much did they beat Tennessee by?
21 points. Vandy made Tennessee quit. Like, be honest.
But the other ones didn't. The other ones didn't. They're the only team that took Tennessee out. Tennessee was right. The Tennessee should have beat Georgia. They missed a field goal. All right?
Yeah.
I mean, they had opportunities in both those games. They had no opportunity in this game. The only reason they were in the game at halftime was because of two first-half turnovers.
I think just with the Tennessee game itself, guys, I marveled at the end how Heupel waved the white flag, like down the stretch in that fourth quarter. Not that it was going to change the outcome of the ball game. But he went to triple zeros with three timeouts in his pocket. Again, I'm not saying that if he uses them, it changes the course of that ball game.
He's just admitting we're beaten.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said it with 90 seconds to go. I was kind of just pondering out loud. Like, is he going to use the timeouts to at least present the opportunity of fighting to the finish? He didn't. He went to triple zeros, three timeouts into his pocket, and just let Vanderbilt take it to the finish line. Vandy crushed Tennessee's heart in that game like nobody else did.
And got zero credit for it.
Oh, I know. Isn't that crazy? But
yeah, the explanations from the committee have not exactly been sound after these rankings have come out every Tuesday. Andrew, I'll let you go on this one. Obviously, an unbelievable season for Vanderbilt, and I know there will be doubters out there saying, oh, well, once Diego leaves, it's back to same old Vanderbilt. But the momentum for this program right now with Clark Lee's extension, then, of course, the big news this week of bringing in the number one quarterback recruit in the country and signing him today in Jared Curtis, The future is bright for this program, and that's got to be exciting to be a part of.
100%. And I know we didn't really discuss the playoff rankings a ton, so I'll try to make this quick, and I'll offer my very quick take on all of it. I think clearly what is the most frustrating is the incongruencies with the arguments, right?
Yeah.
We are in a very difficult year very, very difficult year to try to wedge like 15 teams that are deserving of the playoff into 10 spots. And I think the job that they have is really difficult this year. But clearly the presentations of the arguments
are terrible.
Are not good. They're poor. The presentations of the arguments are poor. I don't believe there is any malintent toward Vanderbilt. And I know the word that gets used is brand bias. It's hard for me. I don't know. I'm not in that room. But when Auburn is used to elevate Alabama and devalue Vanderbilt, or when a team that slips is used to elevate Oregon but devalue Vanderbilt, or a clobbering win of Tennessee and Kentucky knocks teams out of the top 25 in Tennessee's case, so that devalues Vanderbilt, or Miami crushes NC State and they elevate in the rankings, clearly something is not right. Whether that's brand bias, whether it's the way that these guys looked at Vanderbilt, I don't know. I'm not in that room. But clearly the presentation of the arguments are inconsistent across the board.
We said they could have simply said all the other teams have wins over playoff teams and Vanderbilt doesn't. And they could have left it at that.
Sure. But unfortunately, they spoke too much.
Yes. Exactly.
They spoke too much and told you throughout the course of the entire process that they weren't spending a lot of time talking and thinking about Vanderbilt. And it almost leaves you to the point where you wish they had just said, we don't think you're as good as you think you are. Like, it's right.
Yeah.
It becomes almost like a dating situation where it's like, I like you, but I don't like you that much.
When they moved Texas ahead of them, they told everybody what they thought of Vanderbilt. And I think that's the most disappointing part is, like I said, the performance over Tennessee was completely dismissed.
Right.
And they said, yeah, that's nice. You got no shot. All right.
Right.
Let's look at this three-loss Texas team. I know they lost to Florida, but that doesn't matter.
Every argument that was used to elevate a team was also, on the flip side, used to devalue Vanderbilt.
Yes.
Which, again, I'm not sitting here prescribing malice to anything, but I'm not sure what you're expecting Vanderbilt to do differently to find themselves in a situation as the number one rated offense in America, efficiency-wise, number one offense in America, 10-2 against this schedule that has multiple defenses that are national championship caliber, when you're willing to take two sides of the same coin and point Miami up, Texas up, Alabama up, and Vanderbilt down with all of the same arguments. It leaves you very, very unsettled, obviously, from a black and gold perspective.
And we've said it all day. There is a reasonable argument to be made that Vanderbilt shouldn't be in. That is, we're not saying that it's, you know, locked up Vandy should be a playoff team, but they just aren't explaining it the way that they need to. And you're right. They pick and choose who they want to elevate for certain reasons and who they want to devalue. And it's
which is not uncommon. You could take that from a college baseball perspective, a college basketball perspective.
Right.
Like you see the struggle of a committee trying to validate their decisions all of the time. But this is the moment that we're in. And one thing again, and I know you probably are up against it, and I am thrilled Jared Curtis signed, and I am thrilled I can say his name because it is official now.
Yes.
And he's Curtis, so there's that.
Yeah. Yeah, and my wife's last name is Curtis. It's
wow.
A tremendous.
Maybe we're all related.
Yeah, we'll find out. I suppose. But again, I'm going to go back to my beginning point. As frustrated as the moment feels right now, as we breathe, I don't want to let the college football committee decide how we validate the 2025 season for Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
It was unique. It was transformative. It was special. It's going to be something that we hold for forever. And hopefully we can stick a Heisman Trophy somewhere on this campus in the next week or so.
100%. Andrew, always appreciate you coming on, and we wish you luck wherever the postseason takes Vanderbilt football.
Thank you, Jake. Go Doors. Good luck today versus Virginia.
Yes. Women's basketball, men's basketball, both in Memorial Gym, and we will talk about that later on in the show. Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt football, joining us for his weekly visit. We'll react to what Andrew had to say on the other side. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly. Big thanks to Andrew Allegretta joining us for his weekly visit, going through Diego Pavia's Heisman case, Vanderbilt's college football playoff case, and much more. Let's go back to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our good friend Clay has called in. Clay, thanks for calling. What you got for us today?
Hey, boys. How we doing today?
Doing great.
Sorry. I got distracted there. Corey, this is becoming kind of habit here.
Okay.
So, you know, guys, I could say a lot of things about the way I feel about Vanderbilt getting snubbed, and I do think, you know, they are getting snubbed. But, you know, I'm just trying to enjoy what's been an unbelievable season for this football team.
Yeah.
And what seems to be I've been a Vanderbilt fan for a long time. I can vividly remember being 8 years old, Watson Brown being our quarterback and us beating Alabama. So that's late 60s. So I go back a long way. You know, this has been a magical season for Vanderbilt, and all I want is to go to a good bowl game. This team deserves that. I'd love to go to Orlando. I want to play in the New Year's Day Bowl. And I don't have any doubt that, you know, sure, I'm sure the players are probably going to be disappointed that they're not in the playoff. I know Clark is probably disappointed that Vanderbilt's not in the playoffs. And I don't think
disappointed covers it with Clark right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I kind of picked up on that on his press conference on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I think he wanted to say something really bad, but being the professional that he is, he did not. But
I think WTF covers it.
So anyway, but I have no doubt that this team, wherever they go and whoever they play, they're going to be very motivated. And they're going to play well like they have all year. And an 11-2 season, and surely you end up in the top 10. I mean, in the final poll, that's pretty amazing at Vanderbilt. But across the board, Vanderbilt sports is in as good a shape as it's been in my lifetime.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean,
no doubt about it.
Men's basketball, women's basketball, football, baseball. And that's thanks to Daniel Dearmeyer.
By the way, the women's soccer team just went to, like, the Elite Eight.
The Elite Eight came up two minutes short of the Final Four.
And I think that's what's not talked about enough because, and I'm not trying to be negative here, but Vanderbilt has had some chancellors.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Clay, you're right on the money.
Right.
Yeah, didn't give a rip about sports.
Yes, you don't win by accident. So, you win by commitment.
Yes. They've made the commitment. I see now that they're doing stuff to the baseball stadium. So that baseball season this year is going to be kind of like football season was when that project was started. Maybe it's kind of a mess, but that they've made the commitment, and that's thanks to not only Candace, but the point I'm trying to make is Daniel Dearmeyer wants Vanderbilt sports to be good, and that makes me happy. So I'm just looking forward to seeing how this thing plays out, where we go, what happens, all that. But I will say this about Diego. I'm not saying he should win the award, but I'm saying that, you know, he deserves to be there. This guy has put our football program on the map. And really cool moment, and I probably said this before, but I just thought a really cool moment when he came off the field, you know, against Kentucky, because I'm not sure there'll ever be another player like him in football at Vanderbilt. We'll see.
No.
I know Jerry Curtis is good, but
But he's not going to be the lightning bolt. I mean, this guy resurrected Vanderbilt football. I mean,
totally.
I mean,
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Clay. Appreciate it. All good stuff. I agree with him completely. We talked about the alignment, Daniel Dearmeyer, yeah. Candace Story Lee, Clark Lee, it's all working together to get them to win.
It has you look. One person can't do it.
No,
like if you tell the football coach, "Hey, turn this program around," and you're not going to support him, it doesn't work that
no.
way.
And you tell the athletic director,
yeah.
hey, we're not going to give you all that much, but we expect you to win.
Yeah.
It's not going to work out.
It's not going to work that way. So they've invested in winning, and they're winning. Now, you still have to make good decisions after that investment comes in, but they've had people make good decisions. But I think he's exactly right on a number of fronts. Number one, enjoy this season. It's the best season at Vanderbilt in 100 years.
First 10-win season ever.
Yeah. I mean, so absolutely. You can't help it that they left you out. And like we said, somebody's going to get left out. There's going to be other disappointed teams. But enjoy the magical season. Just think of the teams that you beat.
Yeah.
I mean, that you never dreamed of beating, like, more than one of them in, like, 5 years, and you're beating all of them in, like, 1 year. And that we talked about this just before the break. It's going to be very interesting to see who they get paired up with in bowl games.
Yes.
And the best thing for the future of this program is for that team to go and win that bowl game by 30 points.
Yes.
And to show the committee, this is what you missed out on. You totally missed the boat on this. We're the number one offense in America, and you blew it. All right? So, and they're going to have that opportunity. Now, who are they going to play? Is it going to be Michigan? Is it going to be Notre Dame? I mean, could it be Miami? I mean, you'd like to see them play, to me, one of the higher-up teams that gets left out. I don't know if that's the way it'll work out or not, but that's what I'd like to see.
I have a couple of bowl projections up. Okay. One of them is Michigan in the Citrus Bowl on New Year's Eve in Orlando. And another one has Vandy playing Iowa in the ReliaQuest Bowl.
That's not good enough.
I agree. I would love a big brand like a Michigan, but Vanderbilt could go in and dominate that game.
They could.
And
Heck, they could.
Clay is right that he thinks they're going to go in and play well. I think that's going to be a very motivated team to go say, you left us out. Here's what you missed out on. Because one of these early games, first round games, is going to be a blowout, right? Like, probably multiple of them, because you're going to have like Virginia and
group of five
in there.
Yeah.
Though, but I would guess that one of the at-large teams is going to get blown out in the first round. And
forgive my ignorance, because the rules change. Does the group of five guaranteed the highest five conference rated, right?
Right.
But what if none of them are in the top 25?
So they have to make a decision on that. Five. So the situation out there now is, what if Duke beats Virginia?
Yeah.
On Saturday.
But what if Tulane loses?
Then North Texas would be in.
Would they be ranked?
Probably not.
Well, but so if they're not ranked, they're not the highest ranked fifth conference champion.
So five conference champions have to get in.
James Madison and North Texas were both ranked last night.
Okay, North Texas. They were both okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right. So they've covered.
Now, I was thinking of the AP poll, not the college football playoff
poll. I was also right. not.
So they were covering their bases.
Right, to make sure that whoever wins is in.
Okay. Yeah.
There you go. But yes. So basically, right now,
we have a ranked team.
The winner of the American's going to be in.
Okay.
Tulane or North Texas.
Yes.
And then if Virginia wins, they're in. If Duke wins, James Madison is probably in.
Wow.
Crazy.
Wow.
So
bad.
Vanderbilt, they're going to have a chance to go try and prove everybody wrong in their bowl game. Yeah. And, you know, bowl games have less meaning than they used to, but I think there's going to be a fire in Vanderbilt to go win that
game. It's funny, I say it's so bad, but, you know, we talk about wanting a system where you win your way in.
Right.
And these teams can win their way in.
Yeah.
And I should applaud that they're doing that.
That's what opens it up. As much as I hate it, because I hate Virginia, and, you know, hoping
I don't hate Virginia, I just don't respect them.
Well, I hate Virginia, and I'm hoping Vandy women's basketball destroys their women's basketball team tonight. But that fan base never had a shot to make a college football playoff before the 12 team.
Mm-hmm.
Never. Like, even the best season in Virginia history probably does not get them into the college football playoff in a 4-team format.
What's amazing is an ACC loss that didn't count.
Yes,
is what has them in the championship.
Yes,
game.
They played NC State as a non-conference.
That's just crazy.
Yeah, crazy.
I mean, I guess I get it. You didn't have them scheduled in the regular season. You say, hey, let's play.
Right.
All right, yeah, let's play.
So it is crazy, but that is what they wanted to do with the 12-team playoff, is open this up to more fan bases to feel like they have a chance.
I agree, and I'm not against the group of five getting in, because we've seen group of five teams be really good.
Yeah.
Boise State has been really good before. Central Florida has been really
good
before. Cincinnati.
Well, they're Power Four now,
but
they
weren't.
Yeah.
But they were. So we've seen these teams step up and be really good. And again, I'm from a smaller school, so I always, you know, feel like you get completely disrespected and shut out, and you'd like the opportunity to show that you do in fact belong. And I don't think it kills to have one of them in there.
Right.
And look, Tulane's a good football team. North Texas put up a ton of points this year. They're a good football team. And we'll see, you know, which one of them gets there, and which they'll be wearing green.
Yes.
I know that.
Yep.
And we'll see if one of them can, you know, make it a game. Who will they play? The fifth seed?
It depends on if
Oregon.
James Madison gets in. So, like, if Duke wins, then JMU would likely be the 12 seed, and they'd be the 11. So,
well, I need one of the green teams to play Oregon.
Yeah, that'd be
so
cool.
So that we would just have nothing but green in the stadium.
The mean green and the green wave facing off in the AAC championship.
Is Summerall coaching?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. They made a deal. I believe he can coach through the college football playoff.
Yeah.
At the very least, I know he's coaching this weekend.
And that's, to me, I'm not pulling a double standard. It's a totally different deal than Kiffin going to LSU.
Right.
In my opinion.
Well, and UCLA is hiring James Madison's coach, and they've agreed to let him coach through the playoff, which is like, what does UCLA care if he coaches James Madison?
Because UCLA's horrible.
Right. Ole Miss cares if he coaches LSU.
Yes.
Vice versa. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Couple more segments on this Wednesday. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly with you. Got a couple more segments here. Chasing Big Joe coming up at the top of the hour. We're going to talk some college basketball to wrap up the show. But first, let's go back to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Edward is called in with some thoughts on Lane Kiffin, who we were just talking about
during the
break. Edward, what you got for us?
Hey, good morning, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes, we got you.
Lane Kiffin is a bad human being. I want to start out with a few years back. Some of your younger callers might not remember this. Al Davis had such a hatred for him that he brought a press conference with PowerPoint and laid out all the accusations that he had about Lane Kiffin. I don't know if y'all recall that.
Oh, yeah. Not the person I thought he was.
Got on a plane at midnight in Knoxville and skipped town with his dad, and left the UT fan, which doesn't bother me that much, left the UT fan high and dry, went out to USC, and got fired. Now, I have not seen this video, but they say that there is a video of him getting on the plane in Mississippi, and the fans are absolutely going crazy.
Yes,
I have seen it, and it is not pretty.
Yes. But, guys, this guy is – he apparently is a – A1 top of the notch great college football coach. It's unfortunate that he can't be a good human being also along the way. Just want to get your thoughts. And guys, don't hold back. Let's think about Lane Kiffin in realistic terms. Okay, thanks. I enjoyed your show.
Thanks for the call, Edward. I don't know how we can top Lane Kiffin is a bad human being.
Well, I could top it with this. All right. Look, when you get a sewage plant named after you. All right, they don't do that for just everybody.
No, they don't.
They don't. They don't. And we had just talked about in the break, he had done a lot to resurrect his image,
right,
where people actually liked
people
Lane
enjoyed
Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin. You know, he was funny on Twitter.
His team was good.
Right.
He was, you know, he'd been at Ole Miss for 6 years. And again, the thing I will say is no one would disparage Lane Kiffin if he left to go take an NFL job. And even if he was going to go to Ohio State or Notre Dame, you know, and do it after the playoff, people might be like, all right, we don't love it, but you're not in the. But when you go to your rival, all right, and then you say it wasn't about money.
Yeah, he said he didn't know what the money was.
Yeah, well, that's even worse because that means I would leave here for nothing.
Right.
I do not like this place. I would leave here for nothing. But you go to your rival. And now I hear not only is he getting $90 million, he's getting paid for each one of Ole Miss's playoff victories.
Yep.
Because evidently the $90 million LSU was giving him wasn't enough. Bro, they're not your team anymore. You're the LSU head coach. How the hell does LSU agree to that? Just write him the check then. Just give him the money. But to pay him for another team winning – That is stupid.
Yeah.
Are we going to put wins on his resume if Ole Miss wins these games? It's just, it's small, it's greedy, and it should be beneath him. It should, but it's not. It's not. And look, I understand LSU's a great job. I do.
It's one of the best.
But I also understand having some situational awareness. And I just feel like he fumbles it every step of the way. He might think saying, you know, I didn't know what the money was makes it better.
Right.
And it makes it so much worse.
He Lane Kiffin is who we thought he was, right? Like, he had the reputation, you know, leaving Tennessee in the dark of the night to go to USC. He had the reputation of being a guy who is going to bounce from job to job and does not care about loyalty or anything like that. And you thought maybe he was changing, and he'd been talking for months about, I'm happy here. Yep. This is the happiest I've ever been.
Driving up his price.
And then he does exactly what we all expected him to do.
Well, you know, what do we say? Adversity doesn't build character. It reveals it.
Yeah.
And there was some adversity here. And, you know, I had some
self-inflicted
adversity.
Well,
you knew he was going to go there when his daughter was dating come on. Nobody changes jobs because who their daughter is dating.
Yes.
That's one of the worst takes of all time. And again, I understand it's LSU. I do. And I understand that that's a tough decision. But it takes some stones, man. It just does. Can you imagine leaving Auburn for Alabama?
Right.
Your house would get burned down.
Yeah. Lane Kiffin, and I love Edward mentioned the fans berating him as he got on the jet.
It was bad.
I believe I heard there was a video of a woman with a baby in her arms yelling at Lane Kiffin, and it was captioned, "It just means more."
I didn't see that.
The content from Lane Kiffin this weekend was awesome. I mean, of course, the whole thing with Ben Garrett, the reporter down there. I saw like a TikTok, Instagram reel of this guy, because Lane Kiffin, of course, after the game goes, I have to pray on this decision.
Oh,
and
gosh.
Somebody made an Instagram reel of like God talking to college football playoff coach or college football coaches. It's like, loyalty? Who cares about loyalty? You are the best, and you should do whatever you want.
Look, loyalty to me, schools aren't loyal. Coaches aren't loyal.
No.
It's the whole reason that I'm for the transfer portal.
Yeah, the players should be able to do exactly what the coaches do.
Because the schools and the coaches have no loyalty. Why should the players? All right? Because look at Penn State. I mean, I may not be a James Franklin fan, but he won a lot of games.
Yeah.
He won a lot of games. And the moment they could fire him, they're like, get out.
Right.
All right? So, I mean, where's the loyalty there? I mean, watch Lane Kiffin go 7-5 at Ole Miss, and
see what the loyalty is from LSU.
Ask David Cutcliffe about loyalty at Ole Miss. David Cutcliffe won a lot of games at Ole Miss and got shown the door.
Yep.
All right. So loyalty goes both ways. I'm not necessarily going to get caught up in that. All right. What I am going to get caught up in is optics.
Yeah.
Ethics, and just dumping on people. Just dumping them. Have you heard like some of the LSU or Ole Miss players? You know, I guess Lane said, I told the players I wanted to stay through the playoffs, and they overwhelmingly wanted me to stay. And there were several players have come out, including the starting center, who said, yeah, I don't know anyone who agrees with that sentiment at all.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the players clearly feel burned.
Right.
And they should. They should.
Right. I mean, the best season basically ever in Ole Miss history, and he's leaving before they get a chance to go play in the playoff.
Yeah, I mean,
it's been tough.
You can't tell me you're not at a place that can win the national championship. You're in a spot to do it.
Yep. You're likely going to be hosting a playoff game. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Great call from Edward there. We will wrap up the show on the other side. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game.
Oh, wow.
Wrapping up the show on this Wednesday, next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly with you. Been a fun one today. Lots of Vandy talk. We didn't get much into the Titans.
We had calls on Vandy.
We did.
I mean, talk about how the landscape has changed.
Right.
We got calls on Vanderbilt.
The biggest story in town in December is Vanderbilt football.
I wonder like if the Titans win this weekend because Vanderbilt got left out of the playoff, and it starts to work to balance the universe
yeah.
a little bit. Because I contend that Vanderbilt being good at football has just destroyed the balance of sports in our city.
Yeah.
And everyone else has had to be terrible as a result of it.
It does seem that way with the way the Titans and Preds have played for the last 2 years. But, yeah, Vanderbilt football, it's the biggest story in town, whether it's the playoff rankings, whether it's Diego Pavia, whether it's Jared Curtis. Yeah. Like, I mean, that's
– Yeah, I mean, I had three Vanderbilt stories in my show yesterday.
Yeah.
Three.
It's crazy. I mean, again, I said it yesterday. If you go travel back in time exactly 2 years ago today with the team having lost 10 straight games, like, who would have believed that this could even be possible?
Well, again, Clark Lee sitting there saying, we want to compete for championships, and everybody laughed.
Yeah.
Reasonably so.
Right. Right. And here they are. Here they are, 10 and 2.
Who wrote the daring to dream big thing?
Oh,
okay, it doesn't matter. But yeah, you have to dream big,
right?
You do.
And Clark Lee and this Vanderbilt team they're 10-2, and Diego Pavia very well could be the Heisman winner coming up in 10 days on the hardwood. It's a big couple of days of college basketball.
Let's go.
This week. The ACC SEC challenge.
The SEC taking it on the chin.
Yeah, surprisingly, which
last night was not a good night.
The SEC typically is going to dominate these. I mean, they have the last couple of years. But, yeah, last night was not good. South Carolina loses. Tennessee loses.
Kentucky.
Kentucky, Florida, Ole Miss. The ACC coming out strong on day one.
Bam!
And there's still 8 games left to go tonight. So we'll see how that works out. Vanderbilt, the men's team hosting SMU. That is an 8:15 tip.
I still
over
can't
there.
Get used to that being an ACC team.
Right. Just SMU, Cal, and Stanford.
That's got to change.
Crazy.
Think about it. A team from Texas played out in California to determine who would be in the ACC championship. The Atlantic Coast Conference. We have teams from Texas and California squaring off.
Look, none of the conferences are – I mean, none of the big conferences are
regional. The SEC is the closest, but still you're getting further and further west.
Oklahoma and Texas are not in the Southeast.
Right, but at the very least, there are no outliers, right? Like, the Big Ten's got Rutgers and USC in the same
I guess as Greg Sankey likes to point out, they're all geographically connected.
Yes. There is not a 7-hour flight in between any of the Vander or the SEC schools.
And I got news for you. They're all getting bigger.
Yeah, no.
I mean, not the Big Ten and SEC are going to get
bigger. Right. None of this is stopping anytime soon. I would guess Clemson and Florida State will be joining one of them shortly.
I still contend we will have a 24-team Big Ten and a 24-team SEC, and they will play for their own championship.
It'll be like the AFC and the NFC.
It's exactly the way it's going to be. It's just a matter of how many teams they want to include in it.
Right.
But so basketball. Mark Byington right now, you talk about clubhouse leader for NCAA Coach of the Year?
Yeah.
He's probably it.
Number 4 in the net rankings right now.
I mean, are they still averaging 100 points a game?
It's close. Close.
They dropped into the 80s with a couple of games. I'll tell you this. I made some money on the over with them this year, okay? I made some money on the over.
They're going to put up points. They are second in the country in scoring offense at 97.9 points per game.
I was as wrong about him as I have been about any coach just about ever. And not that I thought he was, I thought they were going to be middling.
Well, right, and the idea of coming in and just getting transfers. Like last year, that was a team compiled completely of transfers.
And putting it together and winning.
And they went to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
And then this year, they kept 3 guys from last year.
And got better.
And added another wave of transfers.
And that's losing Jalen Carey, who, by the way, is playing really well at
Tennessee.
Yes, at Tennessee. Right now. Had 22-9 last
but, night. But, yeah, Mark Byington. Unbelievable what he's done. They are the number one ranked team in the SEC in the net when the first rankings came out. So
their production, Tyler Tanner's really good young player.
Yeah, Tanner and Nickel
Brentwood
and
Academy
Miles
kid.
And the list goes on and on. So they play SMU 8:15 tonight. That is over at Memorial Gym.
Forgive me, is SMU any good?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm sure they're competitive, but that is an 8:15 tip, 7:45 pregame here on 102.5 The Game. The women's team taking on Virginia, 4 o'clock tip. I'll be on the air with you at 3:45 on 94.9 The Fan. So if you want to go over, check out Michaela Blake's Aubrey Galvin. Michaela averaged 31 points per game down in St. Thomas this week.
Now, outside of those two, who has – I know
– Justine Passat's been playing great.
She had a double – point. Yep. She had a double-figure night not a while back.
Yeah.
But I always wonder who are going to be the third and the fourth scorers. I know Sasha Washington is a Bellier who's good inside. Pisatza, Tennessee transfer.
Yes, former McDonald's All-American.
And I watch her in practice, and I was really impressed.
Yeah, she has expanded her game. She plays great defense now. She rebounds.
Really, really long.
She's passing the ball, and she's still an elite shooter. She's shooting the ball 42% from three.
Okay, and the girl from Texas, you can have her name.
Jackalenga Mwenintanda.
There you go. She has been everything they wanted her to be, probably in a little bit more.
Yeah, playing great defense and being a maybe not your top scoring option, but she can score when she needs to from all three levels.
How has the transition of Blake's to the two?
It's been good. Her and Aubrey play well together in the backfield or the backcourt. Yeah. You know, mixing football and basketball.
Yeah, I mean, Galvin's numbers are insane.
Yeah, she's been awesome and going to be fun tonight against Virginia. If you want to come out, 4:00 at Memorial Gym. Corey, been fun.
All right, it would be more fun if the Bears beat the Packers on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll see if we have that to talk about next Wednesday. That'll do it for us. Chase and Big Joe are coming up next. Here on 102.5 The Game.